You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, it's Christy Swanson, and you're listening to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast.
Door creaks open, static on the screen. Pop that corn, cue the scream.
Hey guys, welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are your hosts, and today we have a very special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Parth.
And you're an author.
Yeah, I released my first ever book last year around May, and I'm really excited because I'm going to be releasing another book sometime around April, which is coming up very soon.
Okay. So let's... Everything good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's get back into this. So what made you want to become a horror author?
Okay, so I... So it all started with...
Swing your mic over to you a little bit more. Yeah.
Is this good?
Yeah.
Okay. So the reason as to why I wanted to write like a horror, like thriller kind of book. So with my first horror thriller book, it's going to be called Sharkfin Cove. It's kind of like, I like to call it a combination of like Scream and like Five Nights at Freddy's. Like it has its own like animatronics. And then there's, of course, you know how Scream movies are. They always have killers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thoroughly enjoy horror movies, and I love like the suspense
mm-hmm.
and everything. So, and especially with the way they do like Scream movies, and they're trying to figure out who's behind the mask and everything. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I could do that, but with my own version, with like, of course, with different names, different characters, and their own little personality and everything. And so, I think it started around summer. It was like around summer, or maybe like September ish. Of like last year, so like not too long ago, I was trying so hard to figure out what to even title like my first ever fiction book.
Okay.
And so I thought it was going to be named like, oh, Monroe, as in like, because you know how they do like horror movies with like little kids and there's always someone standing right in the hallway.
Yes.
Yeah.
it was going to be something like that, but I was like, how am I going to do that? I don't know. But what really, let's take a little road trip down to memory lane. It started around like 2022, and I did not know where to even start. It was like around February, so like it's already been 4 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I always enjoy Five Nights at Freddy's and everything like that, and I was like, oh, I want to write my own little story, but I don't know where to start.
I'm sure that's and most like, difficult yeah. for people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to do this, but how do I start this?
Yeah, where do I get, what's the beginning step?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you want to do it and then it just never happens. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just starting. I remember I was talking out with like my one friend. We were just kind of just having it was like a weekend trip in Orlando and we were just hanging out. It's like, yeah, I want to write my own little horror story. And so I wanted something to do with Until Dawn, like the video game and also the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted to have, I guess, my own version of it. It was originally going to be called Residential Society, something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work out because I didn't know where to start.
Okay.
And that was like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Who knows, I might revisit that title later down the road.
Right.
But right now I'm focusing on the title Shark, or not title, but I'm focusing on the book Sharkfin Cove. And but yeah, that's how it started.
Okay. So what is your favorite scary movie, I should ask? Since you said you're into horror movies and everything,
mm-hmm.
and this is a horror podcast, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, geez. It's like a battle between Paranormal Activity, because that's like, I feel like that was like the first ever like horror like movies that I really got introduced to. But because Paranormal Activity, I think that one scared the crap out of me, especially the third one.
Mm-hmm. I know the first one was like shot on $15,000 budget.
Oh yeah,
and then it made like over $300 million.
Wow!
Just like the Blair Witch Project, that was like $28,000, and it went through the box office. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the Blair Witch Project?
I've heard of it, but I don't think I fully sat down to watch it. And then there's also, I think it was what, Insidious?
Insidious.
That one kind of creeped me out a little bit. And then there's also I don't know if I watched all the Conjuring movies, but I think it was the first one. That one was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first ones are always better.
Yeah, usually.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, what's your favorite horror video game? Because obviously it seems like you're into those.
That was my next question.
Uh-huh. So right now I'm currently playing Resident Evil Requiem, but I think after like the first couple of jump scares, I was like, oh, okay. I was like, that's not so bad. And then I think I want to say the Outlast games, because oh my gosh, it is so stressful. Because in Outlast 2, I played that game, I think 2021 or 2022. I remember playing through the whole game on Twitch. And it is so stressful. You get a part, you're already getting chased by something. Mm-hmm. So it has to be Outlast. There's Outlast, and then there's, I want to say, one of the, are you guys familiar with the Dark Pictures Anthology games? Like,
no.
The
no.
Same people who made Until Dawn?
Mm-mm. What's the video game in the hotel? Everybody's like, oh, it's every no convention idea. We go, what?
Devil in Me?
Probably.
Because, like, you're in a hotel and there's a little, like, serial killer in the hotel.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. And you have to, like, escape.
Yeah. Everybody's obsessed with that. Every convention we do, everybody's like, oh, do you have any of this? And I'm like, no.
Okay.
I don't. Sorry.
I think people would really love Until Dawn because Hayden from Scream is also in that game. I found that out when we were at Scaradice. Just a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the movie they made? Until Dawn?
Movie,
and they were the advertising movie, it a bunch at Scaradice?
I don't think I saw the advertisement at Scaradice, but
it was on the big screen, on the Jumbotron, and you were you were like, oh, it's not very good.
Me?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Until Dawn. It was, yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, no, so the movie came out last year in April, so it's been almost a year.
That is
the movie,
exactly, and then, right. It was advertised at Scaradice.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That's really cool, actually.
So, but what were you doing before you were a writer? So, this is a new endeavor. What were you doing professionally?
At the time I was writing my first book, which I have right here, I decided to bring it out just in case.
Welcome to the business world.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it on Amazon.
What is that book about?
Story time. So the way this first book started, Welcome to the Business World, it was towards the end of 2024. I was still doing my bachelor's at the time. And so I thought it was interesting because it started with like this random dream that I was in, even though my team leader, like at my job currently, she was like, oh, I don't think that's a strange dream. I think it can turn into a book. Yeah. Cause like I was in the dream, I was in a movie, and I guess here's the funny part. Andrew Garfield was in the dream for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay.
Maybe because of the movie, Social Network that he was in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the whole Mark Zuckerberg movie. And so I guess there was like a scene that just happened in that particular dream where some sort of backstabbing happened, because you know how businesses are, like someone backstabs you, mm-hmm. and like, oh, yeah. Betrays you in the company. And I guess that's just how it started. And then I just woke up and I was like, hey, I had this dream. It sounded really cool. And the title popped up out of nowhere. I can call it Welcome to the Business World. And so that's where I kind of reiterate back to me saying, oh, I don't know where to start. Like, is it people use a certain program or just like Google Docs or Microsoft Word? Mm-hmm. So then I started looking it up. I was like, oh, you can use like a Google Docs. And so this book is mainly just about just advice, and like I share some like stories during when I was in my bachelor's, especially like when I first started college. And so I share some like fun stories, especially in one of the chapters. I talk about like how I go to like conventions and how you should just really just enjoy life, you know, how to like build up your confidence, and like what helped me kind of just go out there and all to all these conventions, mm-hmm. and like just talk to actors. Like, for example, how I was talking to Lucas Gage at the recent Scaredice. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, I'm going to release my first fiction book next month. And I remember he slid me a sticky note. I was like, yo, can you write it down for me? I can't wait to check it out.
That's very cool.
That's pretty cool.
Love that.
It was so, yeah. And then I just kept writing and writing. Didn't know. It was kind of funny because I forgot to even put like page numbers for my first book. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot to like, I guess, quote unquote, properly format it. But now I do. So at least I learned from that mistake. But I had some people, how many copies did I sell? I know it was more than 10, which is pretty good. I was surprised. I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how it started with my first book. And then a couple months after I released my first one, I was like, I want to write a fiction one, because mm-hmm. I want to see what I can do in the horror thriller genre. Sure.
So what's the marketing strategy with your books? Like, do you go out there? Do you set up in-store signings? What's the plan? How do you get it out there?
So as I'm still diving into this little, I guess, area world of like releasing books, I've never really done a book signing. So I would usually just publish it share it on like my Instagram, mm-hmm. and tell people about it. I even like tell some like friends of mine on and share the link on like Discord and the servers that we're in.
Okay.
So I guess it's mainly just word of mouth, just telling people about it.
Okay.
I guess that's just my strategy. Okay. But I plan on diving into more like other things to kind of like sell more, or once I release my next book, Sharkfin Cove.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Have you ever thought about trying to, I'm assuming it's self-publishing?
Yes, through Amazon.
Okay.
Okay.
So have you ever thought about hitting up local bookstores and being like, hey, this is who I am, let's set up a signing?
So I actually was told about that, I think it was yesterday. I was at work and one of my coworkers was like, yo, you should go to like Barnes & Noble and tell them about it. I was like, would that even work? I mean, that'd be cool. So I might give that a try, actually.
Mm-hmm. I think you have more luck with independence first.
Yeah, maybe like a smaller bookstore.
Barnes & Noble will be like, who are you? I mean, I'm not even trying to sugarcoat it. You just don't have a track record yet, and that's what Barnes & Noble is going to be looking for.
It's probably true.
So I would do with independence first, and then get it like buzzing, like word of mouth, and you know, this is what's happening, and print up flyers, and kind of like a nightclub thing, but it's a book signing.
Yeah.
So when you're writing a book, what's the strategy to even like start writing? Because you said you wrote it in Google Docs. Well, when you log into Google Docs, it's a blank page.
It's a blank page, right?
So how do you actually say, do you have a strategy of being
Do you basically, do you start with the story? Or I have a friend who writes too, and she said she does outlines. Like, so she'll say, you know, these are my characters, this is all of their backstory, and then she writes.
Oh, so that's a good question. So the way it started, instead of just pulling up a blank page on Google Docs, I was actually putting my sketchpad to use. I would write down, of course, like what the title would be, because it was going to be like the title Monroe, but I was like, where is that going to go? Mm-hmm. No pun intended. So I was like, well, I do love Five Nights at Freddy's and Scream, so what if I just combine it, make my own version of it, at least try to. And so I started just writing up like a description, like, what could this be about? Like, who should the main character be? Mm-hmm. I don't really know. So I was trying to figure all this out before I even pulled up a blank page on Google Docs.
Good.
And was writing on a sketch pad, like, okay, what should the characters be? I had to even do, and I'm sure your friend has done it before, like, process of elimination. Like, okay, I don't want too many characters. Yeah. Even if there were, they can just jump in and be like, okay, well, this happened in this part of the book, but probably won't show up later, or maybe will. Mm-hmm. So I was writing down the family first. So I have it somewhere in my sketch pad, but so the family, and then so it's the main character is like an older sister named Caitlin Sinclair. So the Sinclair families. And so the dad, the mom, and then the little sister. And I was like, okay, well, let's do a friend group. And then I also gave them like a description, like give them, of course, we all want personality and like what kind of energy they give off when you're writing a book, right, or especially when you're directing a show or a movie or anything like that. Give them some sort of spotlight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, and I wrote down like the friend group also, and the friend group, and then I was like, oh, should the main character have a boyfriend? I was like, okay, let's do that. So then I wrote down the boyfriend, and what's kind of funny is that when I was trying to figure out what to name these characters, and of course I said the main character is a 27-year-old law school student, and so she grew up loving sharks, and the reason why it's even called Shark Fin Cove is that I just love sharks. It's okay. Plain and simple. I love sharks. I even have like a little shark plushie just sitting in my car.
Do you go to shark?
So
you go to Shark Con?
That's a thing.
Isn't that Tampa?
That's where Scared Ice is at. It's usually in July. I hear it's a good convention. I've never been, but I've thought about going.
Now I know. I'm gonna look that up later tonight.
Yeah. It later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shark Con, Florida.
Yeah. They have a con for everything.
They do.
Oh, yeah. Especially, like, trading card shows and everything like that, which is really cool.
So, my question to you is, how long does it take you to actually write a book from start to finish?
So, I guess it depends, because I know my first book took me from November to, like, I think end of April / beginning of May. So I think almost 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very surprised myself that like I'm getting closer to finishing my first fiction book, Shark Fin Cove. Because I started I think October of 2025. I think after Scaradice from that month. Mm-hmm. And then I just kept writing and writing and writing and writing. And then now because all I kept saying was, oh yeah, it's going to release in 2026, but I didn't know when.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I just knew how to progress further into the story, because there's going to be at least a couple of chapters that have like a backstory to it. Like what happened a year ago. And then to kind of give people or like the readers some context. And then there's another backstory later in the book where it explains what happened in this month. So I guess it takes me less than a year. I mean, for now, at least,
because
I don't know how long it'll take me if Shark Fin Cove becomes like an actual like series.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for that. To become a thing.
Okay, cool.
Cool. What authors do you aspire to be? Like, what horror authors are you like, oh, that's that, like Stephen King. You want to be Stephen King or John Grisham or?
So, when it comes to like the horror, like thriller genre, so there's an author named Freida McFadden, and I've noted, because I've read a couple of her books, really good. I highly recommend some of her books because there's so much suspense in each and every chapter. So I was trying to mentally take notes of how she does it mm-hmm. and kind of implement it in my upcoming book. And of course, with like my own version, like right. my own twist right. and everything. Yeah. So that's kind of, that was like my inspiration.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So when it comes to writing, I'm sure you've heard this. Writing is so like hard and it's hard to make a living. You're like, have you, anybody ever tried to like talk you out of being a writer? Like your parents or anything like that? You'd want to do that. No. I mean, people like me, my dad was like, oh, you don't want to go into entertainment. It's hard to make a living, mm-hmm. you know?
So I've never had anybody talk me out of it. Cause I remember, I was telling my mom when I released my first book, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then I remember, I think it was August or maybe September. Oh no. When I was in the middle of like writing out like a rough draft for my upcoming book. I remember it was my mom's best friend, because my mom's best friend, she was intrigued by the fact that I published my first ever book, and she was like, so, are you going to publish another one? Are you writing another one? And so I decided to show it to my mom and her best friend, like her two friends. I was like, yeah, I'm in the middle of writing another one, actually. It's more so of like thriller, like horror, in that kind of genre. So to really answer the question, I've never really had anybody talk me out of it. They just find it really good. Cool, because like I've had some friends tell me, it's like, Parth, you're always doing something. Especially when I
that's good.
especially when I go to these conventions. My one friend, he was like, Parth, I really envy you, not in like a bad way, but like every time I open up Instagram, I see your story, you're just posted up with an actor.
That's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome though.
Every time we see you at the shows, it looks like you're having a good time.
Oh, it's always a good time.
What's your favorite convention to go to?
So now that I'm kind of exploring like other conventions, I think a convention that really has a special place in my heart, because it was the first ever one that I've experienced starting from like 2022 up until now, every year in March there's a convention in Jacksonville called Collective Con, and okay. I've always loved it because I like going there to celebrate my birthday early.
Okay.
So it's a lot of fun, and plus Jacksonville's kind of nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you guys? What's your guys' favorite convention to go to?
Scaredice.
Yeah, Scaredice. I mean, we go to a lot of them. We go to 90s Con. We go to mm-hmm. Days of the Dead. But Spooky Empire. But by far, Scaredice is the best one. Mm-hmm. They go above and beyond for their vendors.
Always have a good time.
Always have a good time.
Great guests.
Yeah. Now that we've been there this long, this is our eighth year vending.
This will be our seventh time at Scaredice. This fall.
And now people look for us. And I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, like last time, like with the Scream, like I designed specific stuff for Scream, and people are like, oh, I want that shirt. It's very validating when you're like, mm-hmm. oh, you design your own stuff, and people are like, mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can feel like that with being an author, when people are like, oh, let me get your book.
Yeah. Because I remember it was one of my coworkers. He was like, yeah, I would love to have a copy of your book and then have it signed. Mm-hmm. Because it's mainly been like friends and family, which is awesome. Of course, always. It's mainly just been like friends and family when they bought my first book. And I was like, this is really cool. I can't wait to read it. And especially when it comes to like designing too, because like, I don't know if I told you, but I also do graphic design. I mainly just make posters, honestly.
That's cool.
I think I told you before.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, every time you see me, I'm always like busy. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm always paying attention, but somebody will walk in and I'm just like, oh, it's a lot going on. So yeah, I do pay attention. So yeah, I did know that. And how many Instagrams do you have? You have, because I was like, oh, I followed one and then you followed me and then I followed another one and I was like, okay.
So it's only three.
Okay.
The Men's Parth one is more so just kind of just your casual, just like, oh, the day in the life of me or something like that. And then the Parth Gaming one is more so of like just posting like just little clips from like my Twitch streams or like YouTube. And just to kind of post when I go live on Twitch. And then the Valley Vibes one, that's more so showing off like my posters, giving updates, because now I'm posting like updates for like my book, and then I'll throw in like fitness stuff, so just to keep that page occupied, honestly.
Gotcha. Have you,
because it does take a while to finish posters.
Have you ever thought about filming a mini documentary with your phone on what it's like to actually be a writer? And like trying to post
like
a day in the life of a writer. This is what it actually takes to bang it out on the page.
No, I've actually never thought about that, but now you just gave me an idea.
I mean,
people love that stuff.
People love the behind the scenes stuff. Like, how do you do this? What motivates you to do this? And, you know, since you're trying to build up a brand, I would suggest you do that and you could post it like one by one on like TikTok or YouTube or whatever, and then send people that way.
That sounds like a great idea, actually.
So what's going to make your book stand out? What makes your writing stand out from other horror authors?
Oh, geez. That's going to be, that's a tough question, I'll be honest, because, the only thing that I was really thinking about is like if three things, I guess, is because if you're like a fan of Scream, FNAF, and just overall like that kind of like genre and like the suspensefulness, I guess it's because towards the end of each chapter, or at least I think some like certain things that are being said for my upcoming book kind of builds up the suspense a little bit. I mean, never really thought about it on like how my book will really stand out, but I was like, hey, this is my first time. I'm like the new kid on the block, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you hang out with a bunch of horror authors? Like, I know Thomas Michael Thomas and Robbie Dorman from Scaredice.
Honestly, okay, so I did see some authors at the recent Scaredice, but I just feel like I haven't really gotten the chance to talk to them because I was just walking around all over the place. I feel like I was walking in circles just finding stuff to buy. I was like splurging that during the whole weekend.
Yeah.
But I remember last year at Collective Con for 2025, I did talk to at least one author. It was really, I can't remember how the actual conversation went, but she's known for her like Star Wars books.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. I just remember telling her, I was like, yeah, like I'm gonna be self-publishing my first ever book on Amazon, and I think I remember asking for pointers. I wish I remembered, because it was like, it's been almost a year now, so I feel like after that I was like, oh, memory, it's kind of blur right now from that conversation. So I feel like that was the only author that I talked to.
So what's your plan to get an agent, a literary agent, to try to move forward? Have you even got to that part yet?
Oh geez, I haven't. I feel like I want to keep up with just the word of mouth and see where it takes me, and then possibly, and as you mentioned, like flyers. That's like the first thing I could think of.
Yeah.
But I haven't thought about like the whole agency thing.
Would you want to be signed, or do you like the independent route?
So far, I'm liking the independent route. And but obviously, you know, later down the road, I would love to like kind of expand and just be open to like cool little opportunities that are that come my way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you ever want to do like a booth or something at something like Scared Ice or?
Oh, that would be so cool, actually.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be really cool because like a good friend of mine that that you saw at Scared Ice recently, like him and I like both make posters. I feel like that'd be really cool for us to like set up a booth for like posters, and then I can put out like, let's say, my books like for people to buy, and if they want it signed, they can have it signed.
Why don't you do that? For the October show. I mean, it's coming up. You should head over there and try to get a booth.
Or if you can't get into Scared Ice, I mean, a lot of the the events, I feel like, have a lot of authors usually.
Absolutely.
But that and also like the smaller like events that happen, like very small ones, and you can always set up like a vendor just to just to kind of put out what you have. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Good way to promote.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, promoting is even for us. That's why we do
half the battle.
That's why we do the booths, is because that's where we get most of our listeners from. We sell things to help support the business, but that's how people find us. Mm-hmm. That's why we go up to 90s Con and drive up there, because, you know, people don't know who we are. Mm-hmm. Where I'm doing my first tattoo show at the end of April. I'm actually really excited.
Which one is that? The Ink Fest?
The Ink Fest. It's going to be at Scared, where Scared Ice is. But it's going to have like MMA fighting and tattoo booths and car show. It's like a lot in one. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll do pretty well there. So you should try some stuff like that. Like, because tattoo, people that like tattoos, they love horror.
Yeah, it's usually a big crossover.
So.
Mm-hmm. I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
So do you write full time, or are you besides the posters, are you doing anything else?
So for writing, it's more so of just, I guess you can say, like more just something that I just love doing on the side. Mm-hmm. I just love being creative. I mean, I see all these cool creative things that I see in like video games and like cool storytelling and but besides that, I am in my grad program for my master's degree. Mm-hmm. And then I mainly just kind of work. I also work as well. And then there's posters. I mean, I do YouTube. It's mainly just gaming stuff, you know, for like YouTube and Twitch. So there's that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about your books, like why people should go out and buy them?
Maybe you can give us like the back cover summary of the story, so you don't give too much away.
Ooh, okay. So think of it this way. So when you, to anybody that is a fan of Five Nights at Freddy's, when people got into FNAF, there's always missing people. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to Scream, there's killing involved. I mean, there's always going to be somebody. So it's about like a girl named Caitlin Sinclair. And you know how when you watch like a movie or a show, there's always the main character feels like this like guilt, like, oh, it's my fault that so and so is missing. And basically, her little sister went missing. And she's also like a 27-year-old law school student. And she has like a friend group, and it's so her dad. So of course, with like his two daughters just loving sharks, her dad decided to open up like a business. So kind of similar towards FNAF, you know, with the animatronics. And so he decided to open up a business called Shark Fin Cove. And there's like a playground area. And I also got inspired by like Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, how it's like this ginormous like building, and there's like bunch of different like play areas, like an arcade area. There's also like a playground, ball pit. There's a like a mini little bowling alley, because in Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, they give like names. So for example, there's an animatronic named Mako Max, like all like different kinds of sharks, mm-hmm. basically, like a great white. I think there's like a tiger shark. There's also like a hammerhead. So there's at least six different animatronics based on different sharks. And so like there's Mako Max, like Mako Cade, like arcade, mm-hmm. Juno. I called it like Juno's bowling lane. And then there's one named Snappy. So Snappy's ball pit slash playground area. And then for Captain Jaws, like it's kind of like similar towards like Freddy Fazbear, like the main like lead or something like that. So there's Captain Jaws has like a bar stool. So like a more like a bar kind of area. And then there's Finny. I think it was Snappy or Finny that was one of my favorites. Finny, it has like a little food area. Finny's Grill, that's what I called it. And then, so that's Mako, Juno, Snappy, Finny, Captain Jaws. And then, so there's an animatronic that was abandoned because of some sort of issues in the system. And it's like and of course I gave like descriptions for the animatronics, how Maui the Hammerhead is supposed to like a very sweet, like gentle, like animatronic, doesn't want to harm anybody, just wants to have a good time, but of course with the issues got put to the side. And so I think what will really get people's attention when they first like read like the first chapter is that it starts off with like a, oh, think of it this way. When you watch like a show or movie, it starts off with like this flashback, but mm-hmm. you don't know the context until it gets explained later in the book or series. So I put like a flashback in the very first chapter, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure people are going to be like, well, I don't know the context. Like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. And then it goes into continuing and in like present time. So like there's some backstory, and then it goes back and forth to like present time to past mm-hmm. time, and you're given context on what's going on and how this what happened, and what's going what were the incidents happen in the over at Sharkfin Cove. Mm-hmm. And another thing is that I decided to, because I was thinking about where it would take place for my book, since I consider California like a second home to me because of like family members and stuff like that, I decided to have it take place in like Irvine, California. I was like, okay, let's take place in California.
Okay.
Okay.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you on social media?
So you can find me on Instagram. There's Twitter. I am also on, as I mentioned earlier, I'm also on YouTube and Twitch. So I can always just send the link to you guys.
Yeah. But go ahead and say it. So
what your handle is.
What's your handles?
Handles. Yeah.
Oh, so for Instagram, you can just type in Mensparth, like MENCEPARTH. And then if you ever want, or where I posted like the updates for my Sharkfin Cove book, Valley Vibes, like Valley Vibes, like there's like an extra Z, so like two Z's at the end. Mm-hmm. And then for Twitch, it's twitch.tv/mensparth92. And then for YouTube, it is just my first name, like Parth, and then you just type in 982.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So you keep bringing up Scream in this whole thing. So one of my last questions for you is, what did you think of Scream 7?
Oh boy, I finally have like a proper opinion on it. So I thought it was okay / all right. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like I was watching Scream 1 again, which was fine. I felt like I was watching Scream 1 again.
Some parts, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some parts, because I think towards the end when they revealed the killers, I was like, who are these people? And I think everybody had that same reaction.
Yeah, similar reaction, yeah.
I feel like something fell off, but I think it was nice to see like McKenna Grace on the movie or in the movie, and then I can't remember how you pronounce his first name, Aza or Aza from Gen V. I think it was cool to see him in the movie. I thought that was really cool because I'm a big fan of Gen V.
The boys and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
The last seat of still another boys are coming out soon.
Yeah. So, in April. I'm really excited.
Yeah. Me too. Some of the things they do in that show, I'm just like, what the fuck? Seriously?
Diabolical.
What?
Diabolical.
Yeah. I'm just like, how can they get away with this? But it's Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like everybody had that reaction when it came to Scream 7.
Yeah, a bit confused.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They also said, or I saw somewhere, I think it was on Twitter or maybe Instagram. I think it was on Twitter. They said that Scream 8 is in development or something.
Yep.
I was like, oh, okay, let's see how this goes.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be Scream 99.
And he's still all the way to Scream 99.
And they're still going to be after her, Sydney.
After Sydney.
And her family.
She's still around. She's like in her wheelchair.
Yep.
Still getting chased.
It's like with Resident Evil with Leon Kennedy coming back.
Yeah.
Just bring everybody back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. Where can people buy this book if they're interested in buying it?
You can find it on Amazon. You would type in, like, well, once I announce like an official once like release date. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like once I figure out an official release date for April for Shark Fin Cove, you just type in Shark Fin Cove and then my first name, Parth, P-A-R-T-H, and then it will pop up right there. And same thing with my first book. Mm-hmm. You type in Welcome to the Business World and then my first name just to make it really easy for people.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. Easy enough on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Amazon started out selling books.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that is where they began. So
yep.
Keep an eye on its roots.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Go out and buy his book. Once it's available.
Well, the first one.
You can go buy the very first book. Mm-hmm. And then when the other one's available, we will let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just remember, everybody's entitled to one good scare.
Yeah, and we'll see you next time.
And we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week.